Let's take your Bibles today and turn with me to the book of Luke and chapter number 18. Thank you for that good singing. Luke chapter number 18. Luke chapter number 18. Last Sunday, if you were not here, most of you were, but those of you that were not, I preached last Sunday morning and Sunday evening on the subject of the poison of pride. And how that God despises and hates and resists pride in the heart of a man. God will resist you, He will oppose you, and eventually will reject you if you do not deal with the pride that is in your heart. I tell you what pride will do for you, and there's nothing good that it will do for you. It promotes a lack of real perception. You will deceive yourself, and because you can't see things the way they really are. It's the way you perceive them to be. And that's why the Bible mentions quite often, be not deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And he tells us often, don't deceive yourself. I mean, I need good perception at all times that I might deal with reality of what's going on with myself, with you, with God. And pride messes with that. And it also brings division. And it brings unnecessary debt into my life. It brings depression upon my spirit and soul. It brings discontentment into my heart, no matter how blessed I am, no matter how much I have, I find myself in discontentment. Eventually, it will bring my destruction if I don't deal with it. But today, I'd like to look at the other side of that coin and deal today with what I call the health of humility. The health, H-E-A-L-T-H. One is poison. The other one promotes health, humility. And I told Brother Brent that I have pages and pages and pages of notes on this subject, and I don't know how to corral it because it is so important to God, the subject of humility. And I found that in my desire to preach on humility, I find myself sliding off into wanting to preach against pride again. But I would like to promote the value today of humility and what it can do for me and for you. Because humility has the power to change. And this is what I know for sure. No matter what's going on in your life right now, no matter what's going on in your life or in your family, I promise you, that if you take a step toward God in humility, that there will be a step from God toward you to help you to recover the situation that you may have personally caused all on your own. When I read through the Old Testament, I am absolutely amazed at how that God looks down from heaven and He responds to humility. And one of the places that He seems to really show up about this is with the kings of Israel. Of when they would do something that would be very, very destructive. Like Rehoboam, for example, who took the throne after Solomon and his princes. They got in trouble with God. And they were facing great loss because of this. And the prophet rebuked them, and the Bible says they humbled themselves. And when the prophet came to them and spoke to them, you know what they said? This is how they responded. They said, God is righteous. In other words, God is right, and I am wrong, and I'm going to try to fix this. Now, if you want help today, no matter where you are, in whatever situation going on in your heart and your mind, I promise you, if you will say today, God is right, and I'm wrong, God is going to begin to move towards you. I promise you that. I promise you that. You know what he also said to him? He said, look, don't be stiff-necked, but rather yield to the Lord. That's a choice you'll make today about it. One of the other kings that really fascinated me was Hezekiah. Hezekiah had been very sick. God heard his voice. As a matter of fact, he'd been told he was going to die. And he cried and he prayed unto God, and God sent the prophet back up to him and said, all right, I'm going to give you 15 more years. Hezekiah asked for a sign, and man, God turned the clock back for him, and the whole land was amazed. You know, they're looking at their sundial, and the sundial's going a different direction all of a sudden. And so they find that it's because of Hezekiah and his God. And then some folks came to see Hezekiah. Hezekiah gave God no glory to what God had done for him in all of these things. The Bible says he rendered not again to the benefit of what God had done for him because of the pride of his heart. See, I told you I have a hard time not drifting over to pride. Didn't I tell you that? But you know what he did? God looked down and said, but then he humbled himself. And when he humbled himself, God responded to that and moved with him in his life and showed him some mercy in his life. I'm telling you, God delights in mercy, but he responds to humility. One of the worst kings, there were two of them that were really bad. One of them was Ahab, the other one was Manasseh. Manasseh, listen how bad he was. And to show you the greatness of humility, at the age of 12, do we have any 12-year-olds in here? Raise your hand. All right. Stand up, young man. Both of you, stand up. You see these boys right here? Turn around and face this mean-looking crowd. Can you do that? All right. Can you imagine these boys being placed on the throne and becoming king? You may be seated. No, they said no. All right. Y'all may be seated. 12 years old, Manasseh became king. The Bible says he was one of the most evil and wicked kings that Israel ever had. He ruled actually for about 50 years. 50 years. His actions, the Bible says, were worse than the heathen. He built altars for Balaam, even placed some of them in the house of the Lord. He built, one of his idols was carved and placed in the house of God itself. He used enchantments, witchcraft, familiar spirits, and wizards, and brought them in to the house of God. And he actually burned some of his own children as a sacrifice unto these false gods. Now, I'd say probably if that was me, I'd write him off. That there's no way, there is absolutely no way God is going to show any mercy to this man for what he has done to himself, to his own family, and to the nation. And yet God sent the king of Assyria, grabbed him basically by the neck and dragged him through the thorns to torture him, and then put him in chains. And as he began to contemplate what he had done, the Bible says he humbled himself greatly before God. And God looked down from heaven, and as this man began to pray and entreat for the mercy of God, God had mercy on him and restored him and actually let him go back to the throne. And when he got back to the throne, he started trying to undo the things that he had done. And by the way, that's a true sign of humility, is it not? That when you ask for forgiveness and you've done some damage to people's lives, that you will do your very best to try to make restitution and restore and undo some of the damage that you have done. But sometimes you can't. But you can at least move in that direction. But you know what? It would take some time and commitment to fix all of that. One of the other kings' name was Ahab. The Bible says that there was none like Ahab. The Bible says his wife Jezebel stirred his spirit up. And when he heard the word of Elijah, after he had done some things that were wrong, the Bible says he rent his clothes, put on sackcloth, fasted, and lay in sackcloth, and went softly before the Lord. And God sent Elijah back. And I don't think Elijah wanted to go back. Sort of like Jonah. Jonah didn't want to go down to Nineveh because he knew that God would be merciful if they humbled themselves and repented. But he did. And you know what the Bible says? God said to Elijah, he said, look at that. That man has humbled himself before me. And therefore, here's what I will do. What I'm trying to get you to see from all of that is that sometimes the devil will whisper in your ear and think that you have done some things, or you've gotten yourself in a position, and even in your family or the mistakes that you've made, and you think that there's just simply no hope. I promise you that whatever's going on in your life, that there is hope as long as there is a chance for you to humble yourself before God. God can begin. I'm not saying, this is not a message from Hollywood and from Disney World that everything is going to go back to the way it was. What I am saying is that God can step in and rearrange things and help you and give you grace to recover from some of the things that you've gotten yourself involved in. But it's going to require of you this great thing called humility. I have learned that humility is something that it's painful sometimes to put on. The Bible calls humility like going to the closet and choosing to put on certain clothes. But I've learned that every time you open that closet and reach in to get the clothes, that one says humility, it's painful. You know what it's painful to? It's painful to my pride. And it takes faith to do that. Because when you're going to say, I'm wrong, or you're going to say, I'm sorry, or you're going to say, I did this, or you're going to say, that's on me, that's very painful to the heart and to the mind and to the brain. And it takes some faith to believe that what the Bible says, God says if you humble yourself, that God will at some point exalt you. That takes some faith to believe that. Now, I want you to look with me in Luke chapter number 18. I'll give you something that Jesus said. There's some things that come with humility, though, that makes the price tag worth it. It'll give you real perception of yourself and of others, and of circumstances. And God will pour grace down into your heart and give you grace to endure even your mistakes. Grace to endure it. God doesn't always remove the consequences of bad decisions. But when you humble yourself before God, He will give you the grace to endure some of those consequences that you're going through. And He will give you peace. The Bible says here, let's look in Luke chapter number 18. You know, the ultimate result of humility is salvation. The ultimate result of pride is damnation. The ultimate reward for humility is God receiving you. The ultimate reward of pride is God rejecting you. Look in Luke chapter number 18. Let's talk about salvation for just a moment. Then I want to talk to the rest of you who have already been saved and born again, who struggle with pride. Do not tell me that you do not. I know that you do. I do. You do. James chapter 4 says, Does not the scripture say in vain? That the spirit that dwells in us lusteth to envy. In other words, there's something in us that always seems to be leaning toward discontentment. What I mentioned about putting on humility, it seems like I have to make a choice to put on humility, and it seems like pride comes in by default. You understand? I don't have to ask pride to come visit me. It camps out. I have to get it off the lawn. I have to reject it and have it moved away from me. Look in Luke chapter number 18. Look at this real quick. Look in verse number 9. The Lord Jesus here is speaking in parables. And he tells you why he is giving this story. Verse 9. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in who? Say it again. Themselves. Now see, that's a lack of perception. You're not dealing with reality right there. He said they trusted in themselves that they were righteous In other words, you're locked in and you're so conceited, you think that you're always right. Not only are you right, but you're righteous above others. That you don't take into consideration that you also have faults and failures. Look what he says. He said, and that they were righteous and despised others. Verse 10, he gives an example here. Two men went up into the temple to pray. So both of them went to church. One a Pharisee, very religious and strict. The other a publican. What's a publican? Well, basically, he's a rascal. I don't even like modern day publicans. I didn't say Republicans. I said publicans, tax collectors. Really, more than tax collectors, tax assessors. Taxation without representation. And I can really get mad about this. You buy a piece of property nobody wants, you fix it up. You make it worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. The guy comes along one day and says, "Boy, you did a good job on that. I think I'm going to charge you now about $6,000 a year in taxes because you've done such a good job." And that'll also, by the way, be for the rest of your life. I don't like that guy. Well, the publicans would come in and they would assess the situation and they would get part of the money from the government for doing that. Well, this guy, verse number 10 is showing that the Pharisee is the religious guy and he's very strict. And the other one is a publican. And the Bible says in verse 11, both of them are approaching God. Verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with, who is he praying with? Ah, himself. That ought to be a key. If God ain't answering your prayers, you need to check up on some things. Because God is in the prayer answering business. He said he prayed with him, he said, God, I thank thee. But he's thankful. But his thankfulness really is not in this direction. His thankfulness is in this direction because he said, I'm thankful that I'm not as other men are. In other words, I'm proud of myself. Aren't you, Lord? Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and Lord, look over at this guy. You know what he is. Or even as this publican. And not, Lord, just in case you hadn't noticed, I also fast twice in the week. And I give tithes of all that I possess. So he has reported to the Lord all of the things that he has done. If I ask you right now, if you died today and stood before God, why should God let you into heaven? If your answer is because I have done this and I have done this, and I have done that. You have given me the wrong answer. It has to be because of what someone else has done, which is the Lord Jesus. Look in verse number 13. And the publican standing afar off, he didn't feel worthy, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased. Now this is a fact. Pride will bring you low. Pride will rob you and destroy you. But I don't want to focus on that today. I did that last week. Verse 14. And he that humbleth himself shall be what? Now listen, don't you believe that about pride, that it'll hurt you? Can I ask you to exercise the same faith and confidence that when you show humility, that God will respond and that God will then begin to lift you up? That God will encourage you, give you grace, hear your prayers. And if you're lost this morning and you bow before Him, He will save you. He will give you the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Think about this. Hell is going to be populated with people who thought themselves worthy of heaven. Heaven will be populated with people who thought themselves worthy of hell. And the difference is pride and humility. I believe that you desire health instead of poison. Pride is poison. Humility is health. Both physically and spiritually. But you know what? If you want to be healthy physically, most of the time you're going to have to be willing to be evaluated by someone else. And then God will then enable you to be able to evaluate yourself. If you allow yourself to be evaluated, you're going to be a far more accurate when you start evaluating yourself. To somebody has given you a standard to measure it by, not your own vanity. Have you ever allowed God to search you? Have you ever allowed God to examine you? Or do you come in here with a closed heart and mind and you endure church, you don't enjoy church? Every time I step into a church service, whether I'm engaged in the preaching or the singing or the listening, I want God to examine my heart. And I want Him to show me if I'm off track somewhere. And the psalmist said this. He said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." Psalm 26:1 says, "Judge me, O Lord. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart." Now you got to understand, David asked God to judge him and examine him and try him and prove him. That's why later on he could make and write other letters and psalms and saying, "I know that my heart is not haughty." He could judge himself correctly because he'd asked God to judge him first. Turn with me to James chapter number 4. How can you deal with humility without looking at this passage? Look in James chapter number 4. Humility is going to grant you the perception to look at things in reality. One of the difficulties of pastoring, preaching, and counseling anybody and trying to help folks is trying to get them to look at reality, how things really are, because we all have sunglasses on to some degree. And we all kind of see things from our point of view. My responsibility is to try to take the Word of God and make sure that we are looking at things correctly so that we can move from that point forward. Look in James chapter number 4. Here's what God will do for you. And now listen, there's two places in the New Testament. They're close to each other. We talked about how the devil was full of pride and brought it into the universe, and how that man yielded to that as well and has tainted our own hearts. But everywhere you find pride, you'll find the devil and the flesh. But also where you find grace and exaltation, you will find humility. Now watch. Look in James chapter number 4. Look in verse number 5. Now he's already read to us that your life, your prayers are not being answered. And there's contention almost in every direction in your life. And you're just miserable. And the Bible says here in verse 5, he says in verse number 5, "Do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?" That's not the Holy Spirit. It's your spirit. It's that old man that has a desire to always be dissatisfied. No matter what God does for you, it only lasts for a little while. The eyes of man are never satisfied. And you can't be happy for anybody else and their blessings. Look in verse 6. But look at this now. And even though this is in us and we wrestle with it, He said, but listen, he is God. He giveth more grace. Though you wrestle with this, God will give you grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud. We know that. I'm telling you, I fear that. I don't want God working against me. I don't want God resisting me. I don't want God opposing what I am attempting to do. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but he says, but giveth grace unto the humble. Verse 7. You have to connect humility with submission and subjection and agreement with God. He said in verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Now you can do this. Resist the devil and he will what? Do you want the devil out of your life? Then you're going to have to humble yourself and submit yourself therefore to God. Look in verse 8. He says, draw nigh to God. This is humility. This is in subjection. This is admitting that God is right and I am wrong. Draw nigh to God. And look at this, this promise. He will draw nigh to you. He says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted, mourn, and weep. In other words, get serious about this. Quit laughing about your condition. Let your joy be turned to heaviness. He said in verse 10, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And this is God looking down from heaven even right now, today, at you, in your heart. If you humble yourself in the sight of God, he shall lift you up. Look over in 1 Peter, just a few pages to your right. Look in chapter number 5. Look at this. Look in 1 Peter chapter number 5 at the blessings that God will give you. Look in chapter 5 and look in verse number 5. Can't get away from this. He says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. It takes humility to submit myself to my parents, to those who are older, to those at church. Take some humility. He said, yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. It's a choice. It's an effort. He said, for God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Here's the promise. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Whatever's going on in your life right now, the Bible says if you will humble yourself before God, his mighty hand has a capability of giving you grace, and he may exalt you in due time. That means not at the moment, probably not today, is he going to begin to lift you up in certain areas and advance you. But he is going to in due time. To maintain that humility, you're going to have to cast your care upon him, believing he cares for you. And verse 8 says you're going to have to also be very sober, serious-minded, and vigilant, because the devil hates humility. And he is going to come after you and provoke you and push your buttons. Now, don't tell me you ain't got buttons that somebody can push sometimes and really get next and under your skin and provoke you to your pride and your anger and your frustration. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast. There it again in verse number 9, he says resist. How can you resist him if you don't submit to God? Whom resist steadfast in the faith, because it takes faith to submit and yield yourself and admit that God is right. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You're not the only one dealing with this. Humility, What is that? Well, really, it's recognizing my own pride first, and then realizing that resistance is not possible without submission. I tell you what, I want a healthy mind. I want a healthy soul and spirit. Some of you do want that, but you want it on your terms. But you can't walk with the devil. You can't walk in pride. Now, here I go again talking about pride again. But if you walk in humility, God will give you some peace and some grace to help in time of need. And in due time, God's going to elevate you in your life and in your business and in your family. God's going to exalt you because He can trust you. What is humility? How would you describe humility? Because there is such thing as false humility. But real humility, according to the book of Proverbs, is when you choose. He described it as bowing down the ear. Bowing, we all consider bowing as an act of reverence or humility. Do we agree with that? And submission. He uses that phrase, bowing down the ear, which means that I really want you to tell me what I need to know. And I'm going to voluntarily, willfully start listening better than I ever have my whole life. The people that advance the fastest at East River Baptist Church in the things of God, in their family, and in their personal life are those who come here with an ear ready to hear. And they bow down their ear. Some of you come and you hear, but your ear is not bowed down. Meaning you hear it, but you're not going to obey it. You're not interested in doing what it actually says. You got to get that out of your life. You got to bow down your ear. You choose to listen. You choose to be teachable. If you're teachable, you're reachable. And he also uses the term bowing down the head. Every time in the Old Testament that somebody got in the presence of the Lord or they experienced a blessing from God, one of the things you see them doing and reading is that they bow their faces to the earth. Now, what does that symbolize to you? Well, it symbolizes the fact that you are acknowledging that God is in heaven and you're upon earth. And it's a symbol of worship and of acknowledging God's greatness. It is that proud and haughty man, that stiff-necked man that walks around with his nose up in the air. Some people you know, some people are so full of pride, if they walked around in the rain, they would drown to death because they are so haughty and noses are so high. And they strut around like peacocks. It also is described as bowing down of the knee. That is an act of submission, acknowledging God's authority and His ability to help you. When I was in England a month ago, one of the things that the missionary expressed to me was he said, "Now look, don't expect anybody to come to the altar." He said, "They just don't do that here." He said, "I know that we're used to it in the States, but they just won't do it here." He said, "They will hear and they'll make some changes in their lives, but they just will not go to the altar and bow the knee." And he was right. But can I say to you that there is some benefits in publicly expressing some humility? Amen. That it's afflicting to the soul. In the Old Testament, that's what humility did. It afflicted the soul, maybe in sackcloth and ashes. So let me ask you this. Has there ever been a place in a time that you have ever bowed your knee to God and called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sins? One day, the Bible says that every knee shall bow. And that if it's a big deal, then I'll do it. Well, it is a big deal. Because the Bible says one day every knee shall bow every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There are some things I refuse to bow my knee to. If you brought an idol in here and you asked me to bow my knee to an idol, I can't do that. If you brought a superstar athlete in here and you asked me to bow my knee to him, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to bow my head or raise my hand or bow my knee to him. He is not my hero. He is not my God. But if you're talking about God the Father and God the Son, I'm willing to bow my knee before him and you. And if necessary, to prove my humility, to lay myself down face first. It doesn't matter to me as long as I can prove to him that I mean business. And what I mean by that is the Holy Spirit deals with your heart about it sometimes. God may nudge your heart just to afflict your soul. And he may say, I want you to go to the altar today. I want you to bow your knee before me, and I want you to call upon me. I tell you what, when you get serious with God, you'll do anything he asks you to do. He can hear you from the chair just as good as he can hear you from the altar. That's not the issue. The issue sometimes, am I willing to bow the knee and submit myself and show that to God and to you? Now, what God does promise here is great, great peace and potential to change everything that's going on in your life that's all messed up. God is like that. I want you to turn to one more place and we're done today. Look in Psalm 131, please. Look in Psalm 131. When there is division, depression, discontentment, when there is contention at every hand, arguing, fighting, I'm not saying that you don't have a bad day every once in a while. We all do. I'm not saying you don't have a bad hour once in a while. We all do. But if it is a consistent thing, you got to find the root of that thing and the solution. Psalm 131, humility is like clothing, and we choose to put it on and apply it daily. Pride comes by default. Humility is like taking a proactive daily diet that promotes good health and protects from certain viruses. Humility can protect you from certain viruses that infect the heart and mess with the family and mess with your finances and your mind. Psalm 131, look at verse 1. Here's some examples of things it'll protect you from. And David now has already asked God to examine him, search his heart. And look in verse 1. He said, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. He said, surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. So David is either deceiving himself, and he's got a bad view of himself because of self-deception, or either he has asked God to examine him, and now he's measuring himself by God's standard. And now he is speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost and is saying, Lord, I've measured myself by your measurements. And Lord, my heart is not haughty. You know, when a person's haughty, that's how you present yourself to other people. And when your eyes are lofty, it's the same thing. It's that proud look. You can see it on the face. But then he says, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or things too high for me. That's my attitude of how I think of myself. One is how I present myself. The other one is how I think about myself. I'm conceited. And I'm full of myself. I'm expecting certain treatments from people and positions. And he says here also, I'm being very presumptuous of how I think other people should treat me. You want to be easily offended? Lack humility. You want to have self-inflicted wounds? Lack humility. Somebody's going to always be hurting your feelings about something. And it won't be on them. It'll be because of your lack of humility. But not only that, but David said this. He said, Lord, and I think David was like this. I don't think David as a shepherd boy sat out there on the hillside and said, boy, one day I'm going to be king. One day I'm going to be king. One day I'm going to be king. That was not his attitude. It is those who lack those kind of ambitions that God can trust in office. And the Bible says here in verse number 2 that murmuring and whining. David said, Lord, I quit that. I'm sure there were times we found in the Psalms that he did once in a while, but he had conquered it most of the time. Are you a whiner? Are you a murmurer? Are you a complainer? Are you always dissatisfied? Can you never be happy? Can you never be pleased? Are you always disappointed with what everybody else is deciding to do, especially when it involves you? Do you understand you've made the world revolve around you and you're only destroying your own mind, your own heart, your own spirit? You're robbing yourself of good family time and good friends and good fellowship at the house of God. All that can change. And by the way, when you humble yourself, your countenance does change. Your attitude changes. Your spirit changes. And he said in verse 2, surely I behaved and quieted myself. How about that? I quieted myself. Now, growing up, Mom said, and Dad said, be quiet. But I got to where they didn't have to tell me that I was able to quiet myself. And when you grow up as a Christian believer, you begin to bite your tongue and say, you know what? I ain't griping about that no more. I ain't saying nothing about that no more. I ain't going to whine like a child anymore. I don't need a pacifier every day. Listen, life is hard on everybody in this room. Everybody in this room at times feels like an octopus and somebody's pulling on all 8 legs at the same time. There are some days better than others, thank God. But you know who it's best for? It is those who clothe themselves with humility. And while things are not where they want them to be, they're thankful for what God has done and what God has given them. And where the Lord has worked in their lives. And you know, really, we are better off than we deserve, aren't we? Than what we deserve. And here he is showing you here that God will help you in these areas of your life. Hey, in closing, I want you to remember something about God. God's in heaven. He looks down upon the earth. He watches men. His eyes are in every place. His eyes and ears are open. And he looks upon the hearts of men. He tries the reins of our hearts. And the Bible says, he told Micah, he said this. Micah wrote this and said this. He said, as much as he hates pride and abhors arrogancy and haughtiness and presumption, God looks down and responds and will draw nigh and bless and guide the humble, the meek, the lowly, the submissive, and the obedient. Now listen to this. Micah said, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? And he said, if I've messed up, he said, will the Lord, shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? Is that what God really wants out of me? What will please him? What will please him right now? Right now in your heart and in your life, how can you please God? Well, to do justly, that's to be honest. To love mercy. To be willing to forgive others as you desire to be forgiven. But he says, and to walk humbly with me. He said, the proud I know afar off, but the humble, I'll walk with them. They will find my presence and my peace. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. And now God is asking you right now today in this service, understanding that you could go home today. Now, seriously, you could go home today, even on the way home. You could look at your mother or your father or your son or your daughter or your husband or your wife. Say, I got some things right with the Lord this morning. I just want to look at you and tell you, number one, that I love you. And number two, I'm sorry for the pain and the trouble that I have brought into your life. Now, I've asked God to forgive me. And I ask you to forgive me. Now, the only reason you won't do that is because of the pain that pride experiences at that moment. And you don't consider by faith how profitable and blessed it will be on the other side, because you think they'll think less of you. They will think more of you. You think humbling yourself is dishonorable. God says, it is, I will honor you if you humble yourself before me. It may be painful, but it will be profitable. That takes faith to believe that. It will require some faith on our part. I'm going to have to agree with God. And I'm going to have to admit and confess to the Lord and to you sometimes. And if I have to make restitution to make things right with you, you get to make the call of what it takes for me to make it right with you. Amen? But I do know this. If I take those steps, there's a God in heaven that says, in due time, I'll reap what I've just sowed in humility. God will bless my life. Amen. Humility and pride are the same, only on this scale. It's a choice. Yeah. That's it. Let's stand together, please, for just a moment. You can never wait for the right feeling and the right time. It's always a choice. A choice. To fear God and love Him and want to walk with Him and fellowship with Him. Let's bow our heads for just a moment, please, to acknowledge our Heavenly Father in prayer. The altar is open. If He has dealt with you, come before Him. Bow your knee in your head before Him. Call upon Him and say, Lord, I do want peace. I do want grace. Examine me, Lord, and show me what I need to do. And by faith, I'll take those steps. Father in heaven, I pray, God, you'd hear my prayer for the saints of God. They would yield themselves to you today and be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. And beyond this building, take action by clothing themselves, Father, with humility, understanding, Father, that pride will fight them every inch of the way. But I pray by faith they would choose to humble themselves before you. In Jesus' name.